Let me just say, God is not willing that any should perish. I mentioned that a month or so ago, remember? God is not willing that any should perish. And Pat's sister and Linda's mother found out less than 4 weeks ago she had cancer, and she probably didn't have but 6 months to live. Turns out she didn't have 4 weeks. But 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago today, as her family has been praying for Wanda, Linda went from here at church to see her mother and tell her one more time about the grace of God and the love of Jesus, and her mother accepted Christ as Lord that day. Amen. You see, our Heavenly Father is not willing that any should perish. And I wonder sometimes if the church has the same heart. I wonder if the church sometime has the same heart as Linda for her mother, so desperately wanting her mother to know Jesus in a personal way. I wonder if the church has the same heart. People are dying all around us. Many who have never heard, some who don't know, some who don't care, I'm sure, but I just can't emphasize enough to us brothers and sisters how short life is, and if we have not made preparations with trusting Jesus Christ as Lord, we're not ready. We're not ready for eternity with God. We're not going. In spite of the world's notions and the world's messages, it's Jesus. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby men must be saved but Jesus. Amen? It's Jesus. Let us not be confused or duped into thinking it's something else but Jesus. You saw the title of today's message. And I was reading some Christian publications in the last week or two, and the more I read, the more discouraged I got. I would read something and then I would share it with Sherry, and I was thinking, boy, some of this goes right along with what I'm going to say today, because I'm going to share a little passage of Scripture from 1 Kings, and I'm going to ask us, and I want to ask us this morning again, where are we looking for truth? Who are we listening to for truth? And as I was reading about Elijah, and I'm gonna probably paraphrase that story in just a moment, but as I was reading about Elijah, listening to that still small voice of the Master, whose voice are we listening to? It breaks my heart to read articles like these magazines are sharing it. And I just want to give you just a little sample of what one little magazine called The Vine and the Branches had to say in its last publication. Here's some of it. And I'm not going to condemn any or even elaborate on any denominations. That's not my purpose. But let me just share with you some things that are happening in America today. In a theological seminary in Philadelphia, there is a professor there that is teaching students that Jesus was a black female. I don't have any trouble with black, don't get me wrong. But when John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son," that's what it means. And yet in seminaries, 8th seminary, this college professor is teaching that Jesus was a female. There is one denomination that has just recently taken upon itself to release its own new Bible to match its theology because they didn't like the current one. And so they now have their own. They wanted their Bible to line up more with their thinking. And so they changed it, and they have their own. This is a denomination. There's so much heartbreaking things in here. Our government in 2014 has decided to drop the terms mother and father from student aid applications. You know what you're going to put now? Parent one and parent two. There's a church in North Carolina that said, we will no longer perform any marriages for heterosexual couples until our denomination says that pastors are allowed to officiate at marriages for same-sex couples. They're rebelling against the church for not doing that, and so they're saying, we're not going to marry anybody until you say we can marry everybody. And it goes on and on and on. Listen to Christian radio a while. Pick up some Christian publications, brothers and sisters, and see what is happening to our nation. And I ask myself, who are we listening to? In the churches, who are we listening to? I want to invite you to turn to 1 Kings 19. And I'm going to tell you a little story that happened in 1 Kings 18 and 1 Kings 19. And I want to really emphasize a couple of verses only. So I'm probably just going to paraphrase the story. I would encourage you to read it all this afternoon from 1 Kings 18 and 1 Kings 19. First of all, you know the story about Elijah and the prophets of Baal in 1 Kings 18, where Elijah was alone and he went with 400 prophets of Baal. I think you remember that story. And Elijah said, you go ahead and call upon your Baal or your gods or whatever. And he gave them all morning to cry out to Baal, and nothing happened at the altar. And he mocked them a little bit even. He teased them a little bit. Maybe he's sleeping or maybe he's busy. Better call a little louder. Well, we know the story in 1 Kings 18 that Elijah then called upon the living God. And in fact, matter of fact, Salek referred to this, didn't he? Fire came down, consumed the altar, consumed the burnt offering, consumed the water and everything. And people of Israel again were reminded that God is still God. And Elijah took the lives, or he spoke to those there and had those 400 prophets of Baal executed that day on Mount Carmel. Well, then we see this great victory for the Lord. And then we get to 1 Kings 19. And Ahab, that's the king of Israel, wicked by the way, if you've read about the kings, you know that. And Ahab told Jezebel, also very wicked, you know, but that probably also, she as well as her father were Baal worshippers, and she instituted Baal worship all over Israel, and she was very, very wicked. And anyway, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. In other words, she threatened him. You're going to die because of what you have done. And when he saw this is Elijah, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. And so we see this spiritual mountaintop that Elijah was on one day and this spiritual drought the next, just at the word of Jezebel. And the Bible says, he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die. And he said, it is enough. Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my father's. And so as you go through the story, you see an angel came and gave him something to eat and gave him something to drink, not once but twice. And then you see, based on that food and drink, he wandered and took off for 40 days to the mountain of God called Horeb. That's all in this story. He's running, as it were, for his life. He'd just seen this powerful display of God. He was on a spiritual high. He was on a spiritual mountaintop because he had seen God answer his prayer, and God fire fell from God onto the earth, licked up that stuff on Mount Carmel, and people recognize again, God is God. He had this spiritual high, and now he's got this depth, this spiritual low. He's running for his life because Jezebel threatened him. He said, God, you may as well kill me because I'm no better off than anybody else. And after 40 days of, after the angel had fed him and gave him something to drink, the Bible says he went in that strength for the 40 of that food for 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. I think you've heard about Horeb and Moses. And verse 9 says, and there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And so Elijah said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets with a sword, and I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Then he, that's God, said to him, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, Elijah. And here's my point today, friends. He's running for his life. He's depressed. He's suicidal. He's found himself clear at Mount Horeb, the mountain of God, and God meets him in the cave and he says, come out onto the mountain. And the Bible says, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the Bible says, a still small voice. A still small voice came to Elijah. 13 says, so it was when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and he went out and he stood at the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Again, the same question, and Elijah gives the same answer. You can read the rest of the story. My question for us today, friends, is whose voice are we listening to? In America, in America's churches, in our schools, in our government, in our families, whose voice are we listening to? Are we looking to the world and asking it to lead us? Are we looking to TV, computers, our friends, and asking them to guide us? To whom do we go for direction? Do we go to the Word? Are we going to the world? What voice are we listening to? Because when we seek the face of God, when we earnestly and passionately desire to know God, and we call upon Him and say, Father, I'd like to know who You are, and we go to His Word, guess what, friends? He's going to reveal Himself to us. It may be just like that. It may not be in some earth-shattering event. It may not be when the mountain was shaking with wind that was so forceful it broke the rocks. It may not be in an earthquake-type experience. It may, but it may be in a still, small voice saying, Elijah, what are you doing here? Or like that still small voice that some of you heard a week or two ago from Val Johnson's testimony, when that still small voice said, what are you waiting for, Val? When we look for the Master, He'll come to us in that still small voice and says, I love you, I'm still waiting. We are looking for every kind of answer from every direction that we can imagine but this. And when we don't like this, we change this to suit our own doctrinal and theological thoughts. And I just ask us today, friends, whether you know Christ as Lord or not, what are we doing? Where are we looking for our answers and our direction? To whose voice do we call? There's a lot of voices out here. too many people, even in the church house, are looking for some earth-shattering event, and if they don't see it, they won't believe. Too many people are looking for some cosmic lineup, and if it doesn't happen, they won't believe. Too many people, even in our nation, are looking to fortune tellers and horoscopes and palm readers and all manner of stuff. And tragically, some church leaders are looking to the world and popular consensus as to how they lead their congregations. Friends, if I or any other church leader are proclaiming something contrary to this, something is wrong. And I'm not saying one of these that we've made to fit our denomination either. If I or any other church leader is proclaiming something other than the Word of God, inspired by the Spirit of God, I might add, we're mistaken. And I wonder if we're looking or listening for the voice of God in everyday living today, or we're looking and listening for what makes us feel good, or we're looking or listening for what's popular, or we're looking or listening to what the government is dictating in certain places, in certain arenas of life. Who are we listening to? How am I going to know the will of God if I never spend any time in the Word of God? If I never spend any time listening and calling upon God, how am I going to know His will? How am I going to recognize His voice? There's a lot of voices that are going to speak in your ear. There's probably a couple of them speaking right now. Elijah didn't find God in the wind, in the earthquake, or the fire. He found Him in that still small voice that said, "Elijah, I'm still here. What are you doing here?" And you can read the rest of the story, and you know God tells him, "You're not the only one left. I've got 7,000 people that haven't bowed the knee to Baal yet." And friends of the church, you might not be part of this church, and you might not be part of any church, but friends of the church, whose voice are we listening to? Because if we're not listening to the voice of God, if we're not seeking the face of God and listening to His Word, then we're listening to a voice that's going to take us in places that we don't want to go today and perhaps eternally. I'm going to close with that. I want us to spend a moment in silence in preparation for communion. And I want you to listen for the voice of God. You may hear a voice this morning that says, "Don't listen to him. Don't worry about that. You're in church. That's good enough." But if the voice of Almighty God is calling you to a deep, committed relationship with Him, then listen to that voice. If the voice of God is calling you out like He did to Elijah, "What are you doing here? I want you to go in a different direction," then listen to that voice. But always trust in the living God and His Word. Let's spend some time in silence.